ZLK Mobile.
4HK. Hey, Shane.
I called you once earlier today, but it seemed like the radio was quiet today. Good evening, Patrick.
I called you earlier today, too, so must have been playing tag.
We're on 8-2, but I don't monitor that one. I'm just a poor boy with a monoband radio. I can't monitor two frequencies at once.
HD to monitor it. Right there around Easley and Cherrydale and all that, it works just fine.
HD at home. Sometimes I bring it with me just in case if I have a feeling that I can't get the tractor that I normally drive. But so far, so good. I hope you had a good day.
Business has been slow this week, but we'll see. Hopefully it'll pick up soon.
That for you. Did you get off a little bit earlier today?
I was done by about 4 o'clock today.
You start about 4 o'clock. That's a pretty long day.
Tuesday and Wednesday, I start about 5:30. I leave the house at 5:30.
A little bit. I forgot to tell you that I met Russell. What's his call? Oh, shoot. I can't remember his call now. K2RCL, is that right? Week, maybe, sometime? Beginning of the week? I can't remember. Must have been Monday when I was out, because I worked the rest of the week. I'm driving by the taxidermy place, and I saw a little vehicle with antennas on it. So I pulled in there real quick and talked to him for a few minutes.
Real good guy. Don't let him know I said that, though.
I think he might get a big head.
Isn't in the house anymore. I think he took the radio out and only has it in the car.
I finally met in person KG4MUK, Wayne. He drives for Southeastern. We were at the same dock. And I've talked to him a few times. I think you know who I'm talking about. Lives down in Seneca, I believe.
Well, I hadn't heard him on the radio lately, though.
His wife's been down in Emory Hospital in Atlanta with something to do with her heart. She wasn't doing there well. And he's been down there for a while. I guess she's back home now. He didn't finish, but it was a touch and go there for a while, apparently.
Pitch kick. I hate to hear that. Hopefully everything's getting better anyway.
And it's been over the past 7 months, maybe, so I forget what happened, but he never said, never finished. Like, I'm assuming she's back home now because he's back working. He was out of work there for a while.
I think I remember him saying something about that. That's been a little bit, a few months ago, that she got to come home, if I remember correctly. That's when I started hearing him back on the radio, but I hadn't heard him since at least December.
He's like me, or like you guys too. He starts out early, and he said he carries an HT sometimes with him in the truck. He's thinking about putting a radio, more power in the truck he drives. So maybe we'll hear more during the day.
Good, because repeater's been kind of quiet.
Heard from Tom today. I hadn't heard him at all. He usually gets on about now and talks to me on my drive home. Last night he went out, his kids took him out for a belated birthday dinner, and I think that's the last he checked into that last night, but that's the last I heard.
And I didn't hear him on the radio all day today, so only person I heard on there was the morning crew and maybe 2HXS.
That one's hard to miss, isn't he?
From Steve, but Steve never came back to him either.
Call him a couple different times, and I was in the middle of something, so I didn't respond or say hello to him. I just ignored him like a Not like I normally do. I wasn't about to say that.
I know what you mean. I've got the radio on in the background, and I'm doing stuff with customers. I'm kind of listening, but I can't just stop what I'm doing to jump up there and grab the radio. So, and then by the time I get moving again, I assume everybody's got to where they're going or, you know, got other things going on.
Here, and it seems like I've said this before, but I'm driving, you know, I might drive 20, 25 minutes, but it's crazy how really that's not that much, that long when you start getting in a conversation on the radio with everything else going on.
Today, where I'm here on points of highway most all day, it's real short trips. It's like pull out of the parking lot and pull into the next one. So not much time to talk on the radio.
Not ever ran what we would call blind, running it blind, no training whatsoever. They just put me on it, said, sorry, you got to run it today. Good luck. It was basically up Points of Highway, starting right where Rutherford Road changes, or Rutherford Street changes to Points of Highway. Up one side and back down the other, and then all those little residentials all behind it, the Mill Village and stuff. And I was trying to work it off of a map. That was, I'll never forget that day. That was a pretty tough day.
It's stuff crammed in that little area right there.
Before they had, you know, we had cell phones with GPS. I was running it off of a map. And, you know, we had our little computer that would allow us to punch in the stop, but we had to do the street and everything. We had to type it in. Now it's all in there. We just scan a package and it pulls it up. And they've got GPS in those boards. Tells them how to get to their next stop. But back then, it wasn't like that.
Unreal back then, wasn't it?
So we had to grow up, and I guess every generation can say that. Every previous generation.
Nowadays, I mean, to write in code, all you got to do is write in cursive. You don't want somebody to steal something, make it a straight drive with that third pedal down there, and, you know, you're done. And then throw in a map, paper map, wipe them out.
That is correct. I was going to say the same thing when you said write in cursive, and I was going to say, and also drive a stick shift.
But, like you said, the generation before us said the same thing. They talk with dit, da, and I'm good. I can't understand it.
Said, okay, I saw a video last night. It was this youngish guy. Apparently he's got a Instagram or something where he gives tips. And it said, something your father never taught you. And he was showing you how to jump a car battery from another car. And I don't know what the exact correct way. Some people say positive first, negative second. I mean, I was reading through some of the comments. And it was just funny. And I mean, I've always done it. I just hook it up. I don't think about it. But anyway, somebody made the comment about I just get in and pop the, you know, put it in second gear and push it a little bit and then pop the clutch. I don't need to charge my battery or jump my battery off. And the guy that posted the video was like, what are you talking about? How do you do that? It was so funny.
That just blew their mind. And I've had cars like that that the starter was bad on, and you parked on a hill to make life easier.
Motorcycle, too. Just give it a little rolling start. But did that many a time. Sometimes just showing people, because even back then, you know, some people didn't even know it. You know, some kids that were, you know, parents bought them new cars and bought them automatics or whatever. But when I say back then, when I was young, that wasn't that long ago.
Yep. Yeah, and then you throw in that with a motorcycle, you had to bounce on it at the same time to get the back tire to dig in.
To run around to the front of the car and crank it.
Yeah, at least we don't have to do that. That's for sure. That was a real arm breaker.
pull that rope cord on the lawnmower still.
Having the Model T, Model A around, where you had on the steering wheel, you adjusted the time and you turned the distributor from right there as it warmed up and you got going down the road. That definitely stopped most people.
Guy, back late 80s, early 90s, he was in his, he was close to 80 at the time. And he said he lived up in Hendersonville, and he can remember coming to Greenville. They'd leave on a Friday afternoon, and his brother had a Model T, and he said we would back down our driveway or one of the main roads off of the mountain because the reverse gear was the strongest. So he would back the car down until it got to level ground, and they'd drive all afternoon to get to Traveler's Rest, spend the night, and then go get up early and go into Greenville. Spend the morning shopping and going to the movie, and then they load up about lunchtime and drive all the way back up to Hendersonville to get home late Saturday night.
I mean, you'd have the fancy paved roads and speed limits where they're at. You know, those cars were doing good to run 30 mile an hour. That was pushing it. You were asking for trouble. I mean, you think about that. You only drive 20 mile an hour. How long is it going to take you to get from Hendersonville to Traveler's Rest and no smooth roads?
But okay, there's probably a couple guys listening to us that can remember, at least remember stories of that. Some of them may remember doing it. I don't know. Who knows? I know I had a neighbor, went to school with his daughter. He used to tell me when he was a kid, they would never go anywhere without a spare tire. If they took a trip over 50 miles or more, they would always get a flat. So they had to make sure the spare tire was ready.
I can see it. I mean, technology back then is not what it is now, that's for sure. And you know, you had a wooden wheel. It wasn't metal. It wasn't spokes in it. So, I mean, you break that and then have to repair it right there on the side of the dirt trail. It ain't a road.
Probably couldn't call AAA.
And there's quite a few of them drug up by a team of horses out of there.
Cat Falls is on Highway 11.
Know where you're talking about.
Off place, and you can see a little bit of water right there, right off the road. Usually there's, on weekends especially, but summertime, there's usually somebody selling boiled peanuts, or I think I've even seen him selling wigs out there too. But there's a marker, historical marker in there. You can park there and climb up steps and go back. There's a mile long trail. Pretty easy to do. We used to go there and walk one of our dogs there, and there's falls in the back, at the back half of it. But the marker there says that it was created by that little pull-off was created by the highway department or something, the state, back in the 20s and 30s, because people would get out there and, you know, take a drive on a Saturday or a Sunday, and they needed a place to pull over and eat lunch and just like a little layover for people driving up and down Highway 11.
Well, that's what the water, places you can get water on the side of 276 and 178, that's for. And so you can top the car off as you're trying to get up the mountain.
Water?
Days, and I'm sure it was back then, but that's water your horses and your car, whatever you needed to, I guess.
Never thought about that, but that would make sense, because I can remember. I mean, I remember we had some cars when I was a kid that weren't very well taken care of, or it was all my dad could afford, and a lot of them had to be topped off on a regular basis.
He was telling me about that. He got some wild stories about running around these mountains up here.
I think that Jones Gap was, you know, the guy named Jones was trying to create a road down from Brevard to compete with 276, and a faster way to Greenville.
Just look into that one.
It's very interesting. I mean, that the roadway is still there. It's part of the trail when you go hiking at Jones Gap. And they got pictures from the mule and horse teams. They were trying to, cut through there cut through the mountains and get up to more of a straight run down from Brevard instead of that windy 276.
I don't think that's ever going to happen. And especially not back then, because you didn't have no aerial photos of anything to try to pick a path. You just kind of turned the horses loose and let them go.
To stop, I mean, obviously, 276 survived and Jones Gap Road didn't, so I don't know if he just realized he could only go so far. But you can actually, about halfway up 276 or maybe a third of the way up, there's a hiking trail, and you can hike from there into Jones Gap. And it ends up following a good bit of that road once you get closer to Jones Gap Park.
I think I know where you're talking about right through there now. They've added some roads in there lately, or appear to have anyway.
Hiking trails all over up in there, as the Nature Trust or whatever they call it, where they're getting land, buying up land and getting donated land to connect all that Jones Gap all the way down to Tabor Rock and on down to Sassafras Mountain. They're trying to, Natureland Trust, I think they're calling it, keep it wild and keep it good for hiking and camping and stuff.
You're right through there, that's for sure. And come down Sassafras Mountain back into there where, I don't know what the name of that camp is now. It used to be McCall's. It's been Ambassador's. But right in there, that's a beautiful ride down through there.
Camp there near, now up there near, or Young Life, not New Life, Young Life Camp. Is that what, the one you're talking about?
The name of it is. It's changed several times, and it's over there on 178, where Sassafras Mountain comes back out into it. You can come all the way over there into East Fork. So that's a pretty good ride through there.
It's beautiful. This whole foothills area is just absolutely gorgeous.
It's beautiful, and I see all these houses popping up on top of the ridges. All these people coming in here, they won't move here because it's so beautiful, and the first thing they do is want to put a house up on top of the ridge.
25, man, it's really changed. Amazing how many houses you can see now through where there used to be trees.
That big one right there, as you start up the mountain, looking right straight ahead, there on that point. There's a big old house there now.
Couldn't see the work being done on it, but all of a sudden it was starting to show up, and I think it's all glass right there on that side, isn't it? On the west, southwest side facing.
It's a pretty house, and I'm sure it's got a beautiful view of the Greenville Valley there, but it's the first one to get caught in a storm, too.
You get the brunt of a thunderstorm moving up that way, coming from the southwest, unless the mountains break it up. But I'm sure there's days that they can't, I'm sure there's days they're looking down on the clouds.
Right through there, it tends to be like a line in the weather. A lot of times that flat spot going up 25 where we're the step in it, that right through there just seems to be like a break in the weather. And so right through there I see high winds and temperature changes, and it's pretty drastic right through that stretch a lot of times.
Are you familiar with the Piney Mountain area? It's if you're on points north Pleasantburg there at the Home Depot coming up to State Park Road, it's that, all that area behind it there.
Monticello and all that set.
So they practically developed that whole hill. I mean, it's called Piney Mountain, but I know there's a lot around Paris Mountain, but won't be surprised if another 20 years and all of Paris Mountain is stripped down and nothing but houses.
I drove back down State Park Road over to 290 today. That's my normal run to get back over to 290. And there are apartments and houses and stuff popping up everywhere. Before long, I imagine that road will be bigger than it is. It'll have to be because there's so much traffic. We're on 253 there.
And 4ZLK, sorry about that. Yeah, they need to widen. They should have widened that road years ago. Actually helped frame a few houses along there and did some vinyl siding on some back when we thought it was growing back in the early 90s.
Like it is now, that's for sure. There's so many people moving into this area. I don't know what we're going to do, and infrastructure is not keeping up.
Solution, all we got to do is raise taxes. That'll solve everything. Hey, are you talking on that beam antenna that you said you had horizontally polarized?
Vertical right now. I'm on the crossband repeat, so it's on the vertical.
Occasionally there's a little bit of fading, not your audio, but white noise fading in and out.
I hear it on my end, too. It's probably just temperature change in a repeater. Temperature is dropping up here.
Out. I was wondering about you. We were talking about you earlier. I thought maybe we could drag you out a little bit quicker.
You are. Well, you mean when you was talking about mules and Model Ts and that back in my days?
He heard us, Patrick.
He's out there sandbagging. Don't want to jump in here.
I thought it was interesting, which is very unusual for you two.
Yeah, but then he couldn't remember what he was going to say.
Jane, I'm going to wait for the response on that one.
It's definitely a two. Good evening, gentlemen. I use that, you know, softly. Oh, I'm just sitting here with Bernice, and I stuck an earplug into my ear so she can watch the FBI, and I'm looking at, the Blue Origin spacecraft and a few things on the computer. Just vegetating, I guess you'd say, Shane.
Hey, Tom, I was a little worried because I didn't hear you all day long today. Now, obviously I was in and out of the truck a few times, but I didn't hear anybody. So I was asking Patrick if he had heard you.
Went to the trash dump today and we didn't go anywhere else, did we, Bernice? No, I have to ask her to remember. Shut up, Patrick.
I mean, you've been married a long time, and they say the women are the brains of the bunch, so, I mean, it only fits.
That's it. He's gone to his limit now, Shane.
Well, Beth tells me all the time that I'm not remembering correctly, so maybe when I get a little older, I'll start to agree with her.
And ask you where she left her keys, right?
Go out and rock a while and swing out back. It means it was nice out. Bernice wanted to wait till tomorrow to clean the chicken pen out. But I can't think of anything else productive we done today, really. But she is making barbecue ribs for tomorrow.
It was really productive. And hello, Bernice, if she can hear. If not, just tell her hello for me.
You tell her we said hello. And that does sound like a productive day. Enjoy some nice ribs.
That chilly up north, or did you just scoff it all up at home? And see, I can't remember what else you sent with it.
There was birthday cake, cookies, and the chili, and the ham salad.
Have you told Tom that you have been trying to stick to a different way of eating lately?
and they know. And I bring it home. The cookies generally don't make, especially when they're warm. They're hard to resist. And but the wife, she ate all the ham salad before I got a chance at it. So, and then we split the cake.
Restricting his eating, Shane. He switched from the right hand to the left hand.
He's on one of those seafood diets. If he sees the food, he's going to eat it.
I'm not as strict as I was when I first started, but I'm still on it.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. I hate to admit that, but he is.
I got a buddy at work that, or a coworker. He's 6'6", and he was up to 345, 350 pounds, and I think he's down to 275 or 265 now. Man, looks like a different person.
Feel a whole lot better. Get rid of all that processed chemicals and stuff. I mean, a huge difference.
I've been blessed. My sisters, both of them, they can look at food and gain. And I could eat a cow and never gain an ounce. Any of you guys know anything about Isaac's got a, my grandson's got a 2007 Dodge, and I think he made his own trouble. I don't know, but I think he said he didn't, but he's having trouble with the headlights. One of them's blinking, and the other one, he tried to put LEDs in it, and then they read up on it, him and his dad, and turn that down a little, Bernice, and it said that he needed to put a resistor in there. I noticed there was a power resistor in line with it, because the computer looks out there, and if it doesn't see the natural load that it was programmed for, it goofs things up. Well, I think he did, but the LEDs naturally are a lot less load, but I have no idea what an LED headlight draws, Patrick. But I noticed the other light that's working, and it's flickering some. He's got to get it fixed. And he's thinking he has to buy a new computer module, which is big and it's expensive. I guess there's been problems with that year. And I think Dodge has had a lot of problems with electronics. But you know anything about that, Patrick?
Here was it again.
Can I jump in here real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Anything about it, but I'm in the driveway, so I'm going to sign out. Enjoyed it talking to both of you tonight. I'm glad you came in here, Tom. I figured Patrick would know. He's a good one to ask about those questions. I'll talk to both of you later if you're not careful. N4ZLK.
Good night, Shane. Great to hear you. And Gerald, too.
Well, I'll talk to you tomorrow. K04HK.
How about that, Patrick? I think it's a 1500 Dodge four-door, a truck.
Okay, on those, I don't know for sure if they had the tip-em problem, which is the fuse box. It's part of the module for Chrysler. If it's the right year, I'd have to go look up the information for sure. But when you put LED lights on there, it doesn't have load like you say, and if you don't get the right resistor in there, it can cause problems, and those lights will overheat, and they'll cause, that's what's causing them to flash. So I don't recommend putting LED lights in there, especially low quality ones, like if you buy them on Amazon or something like that. You're asking for trouble. I've seen them burn complete harnesses out and have to replace a whole harness on trucks.
This is Andrew OTR. Thanks, Patrick. Well, he mentioned that he had heard of that. They've done a lot of research in it, I guess, but they're not electrically inclined. Scott is my son-in-law, his dad. He has a master's in mechanical engineering from Ohio State, so he's very smart, but not electrically necessarily. But he'll tackle most anything. That sounds correct, because I looked over there in that module, that fuse box is sitting right on top of it. But the left light is still got a HID lamp in it, or the right one. No, the left one. Anyways, it's flickering and not even staying on steady. And the other one's gone out completely now, and it had that dropping resistor on it.
The resistors to drop the voltage, obviously, you know that. And then it's too small a gauge of wire is one of the major problems. And it's just the heat sinks on them. The cheap lights give problems. It's just not good. Like I said, I don't know which ones he bought, which style he bought. So it's kind of hard to tell. But if you've got one LED and one halogen, that's not going to work either. So you can't do that. What a lot of people will do is they'll overlay that harness coming out there and run another switch. But I don't recommend doing that either, but I do see it quite a bit.
Well, that was discussed. So you're saying don't use the high beam, low beam switch that's in the truck. That's one thing I suggested to was to run a inline fuse and put a toggle switch in there. You know, I guess a single pole, double throw.
Get the more expensive kits. They'll come with wiring harnesses and all that stuff to actually do it right. They won't just be a bulb and a resistor and with instructions on how to put it in there. Because those ceramic coated resistors, if they don't like much. They're very fragile, which you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. So if they hit something or water hits them, they're done. And so he may have done that already. I don't know how long they worked. So, I mean, it could be quite a few things that could be wrong with. I recommend putting the truck back to stock and leaving it alone.
I will get in touch with him and tell him that. And if nothing else, I'll have him call you some evening when after you get home, and maybe you can give him some advice on it. But I noticed the ceramic resistor was in a good spot, and it looks intact. Of course, you know and I know they can crack. But they usually got a big wire round resistor inside of that little black box. And it's mounted to a good heat sink. But I'll tell him that. I got a feeling, a good feeling, that he just wanted LED lights on that. He said, oh, those original lights were no good. Well, I looked at it, and he said, no, I think they're tungsten. They're not white. And I looked at it, and they're HID, the one that's left in there. And my goodness, that's plenty good, don't you think?
Those halogen bulbs, they were fine. Clean the lenses up. I'm sure the lenses need cleaning, buffing, and that get that yellow off there from the oxidizing and being out in the sun. Buy you a good Silver Star and put it in there and leave it alone. It's the best thing you can do unless you are familiar with how to repair that. Otherwise, I've seen it almost burn vehicles to the ground.
Good news. Now, it's a Silver Star, is that the higher end HID, like 65 instead of 55 watts?
They make a whole line of bulbs for cars. It's just a brand. Like Philips. Ain't nothing wrong with Philips. They make good bulbs too. It's just a different brand. So, and that's what I recommend. But Tom, we better hop off here. That way the repeater has a chance to go into net mode. I don't think it has.
Okie doke. Boy, thanks for your help. I appreciate it. And I'll give him a call and tell him what you said, because I definitely respect your opinion on that. Talk to you later, KO4HKX in 0TR73 Patrick.
Evening. Enjoy the beautiful day tomorrow. KO4HKX. Clear.